in about 1 minute. I do want you to write down the phone number if you would, 801-541-9181. That's 801-541-9181. That is where you'll text a message as we're going through this process. We're going to talk about finding joy in the journey this evening. So if you have any questions as we go through this process, please share them with us, and I'll do my very best to address those answers while we're live on the call. Remember, when we go live with the video broadcast, we will kick everybody off for just a moment. We're going live now. And I think we're says we've timed out. Hopefully this will help us connect. Bear with us just for a moment. And we are live. Oh, welcome to Tuesday night on our celebration of life. It's great to have you with us again and the opportunity to discuss those things that are most important in our lives. For those of you who were on the call last week, we apologize. We were in Bear Lake at our cabin and subject to the power grid there in Garden City, and just a few minutes into the call, we lost our power, which took down our internet and our phone lines. And by the time we got everything up, everybody had moved on for the evening. So thank you for being with us and for your patience last evening. We're back in the home office. It's good to be here and to have all of you on the call. For those who are visiting for the first time, we meet every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock Mountain Time. This is a live call. Those of you who are on the telephone, you can text a message at 801-541-9181. Or if you have a Ustream account and they're free to set up, you can have a live, participate in a live chat right here in front of me, and I can read your questions and I'll do my very best to answer them. So feel free to participate. Those of you here for the first time, we welcome you. We want you to, when you come to these sessions, have your assessment handy so that you can look at measurements, because we'll occasionally discuss some of those measurements to help you better understand how they might be showing up in your life. I'm here to serve you. This is your coaching session. And I can tell you that I put my heart and soul into preparation. I've got some things I would love to share with you tonight that I just feel impressed to go through. We're having some very interesting times in our lives. Spent time this afternoon with a dear friend who lost her husband recently. Some are losing or have lost homes, businesses that are having challenges. There can be some real interesting and difficult things happening in our lives, and finding joy in the midst of all of that is such a key, and tonight we're going to discuss that in more detail. So I'm here for you. If you've got a question, send it to me and let me see if I can serve you. Now, this last week, I had the opportunity to spend some time writing, working on the new book. You'll have another chapter in the Augmentino newsletter before the week is out. And it's entitled The Greatest Secret. This is the conversation about agape love. Agape, Greek, for love. It's been translated into English charity. It means a heightened level of awareness. Seeing people from a heightened level of awareness and situations. I began to share this last week before we lost our power. I had a tremendous insight into scroll number 2, studying it the prior weekend. I just want to share this with you because it's such a piece of finding joy in the journey. Og starts scroll number 2 by telling us that love, agape love, is the greatest secret of success in all ventures. Now, we know that this scroll was written the same night all the other scrolls were written, except for Betty made him tone this one down a little bit. And he was just a master poet and story writer, and he was able, a storyteller, he was able to keep all of the critical elements in the scroll. If you're a truth seeker, if you're looking for them, you will find them. He tells us that muscle can split a shield. That shield meaning the wall that we have around us, that shield to protect us. Muscle can split this shield and even destroy life. But only the unseen power of agape love can open the hearts of men. Until I master this art, I'm no more than a marketplace. I'll make this my greatest weapon, and none on whom I call can defend against his force. Then he goes on to say, they might not like what I say, how I look, what I wear. Even my bargains may cause them suspicion. Yet my love, this awareness, will melt all hearts, like in the sun's rays soften the coldest clay. Then he goes into a very interesting discussion. It's like, what does this have to do with love? Has everything to do with agape? Has everything to do with finding joy in the journey? Turning to scroll number 2. If you've got it there, you can join me. He says, and how will I do this? Remember he said, melt all hearts, like unto the sun whose rays soften the coldest clay? Well, how will I do this? How will I melt their hearts? This is a powerful question. And then he says this, henceforth I will look on all things with love and I'll be born again. So we'll want to have this new life. I shed my old skin, which had too long suffered the bruises of failure and the wounds of mediocrity. Today I'm born anew, and my birthplace is a vineyard where there's fruit for all. We want to be shedding and growing. So if we want to open all hearts, we want to be growing. It says, I'll love the sun, for it warms my bones. Yet I will love the rain, for it cleanses my spirit. I will love the light, for it shows me the way. I love the darkness, for it shows me the stars. I've written about this in the book, that when we were pulling away from our dream house 21 years ago, the sunlight of success had gone down. I was in a dark period. However, in the darkness, I saw the stars, mythologically diamonds, the diamonds in my life, Ramona, the children. I was so preoccupied with business, developing real estate, I wasn't paying attention to that which mattered most. And I didn't see that until I could no longer see the sunlight. Stars are there. There aren't clouds in the sky. We could see them if it weren't for the sun. Remove the sun, we see the stars. I will welcome happiness, for it enlarges my heart. Feels good. Yet I will endure sadness, for it opens my soul. This is Khalil Gibran. He talks about our heart is harrowed out, and the depth with which harrowed out is the depth with which we can feel joy. I will acknowledge rewards, for they're my due, yet I will welcome obstacles, for they're my challenge. Has anybody ever read this and said, well, just a minute here. He said, I'm going to soften all hearts, like the sun whose rays soften the coldest clay. And then he tells us to love the rain and the darkness, to endure sadness, and to embrace our obstacles. What has this got to do with softening hearts? Everything. Absolutely everything. We talk in quality number 1, and I'm writing about it in this particular chapter, about the fact that we have these challenges. And we can, in fact, when we receive one of these moments, we can be in resistance and resentment, anger, rebellion, frustration, bitterness, or we can embrace it. Now, can you feel it, David? Why? I didn't want it. I don't want it to be this way. That's true, except for it is this way. It is what is. In fantasy, we go forward, looking at what it's going to be like when, and then live beyond. We can also go backwards and live what it would have been like had this not have happened. Both are in vain. So our option is to embrace it. Og was wise. Yet I will welcome obstacles. Welcome them. Are you kidding me? Well, they're going to be there. We're going to have obstacles. And the question is, will we welcome them and learn from them and move forward with what we learn? Or will we wallow in our pain? Now, I began to share this last week, and there's an ending to this story that wasn't available last Tuesday, so I'm glad to tell you the whole piece. We have a dear friend in Atlanta, Georgia. Now I know the whole story of what happened. She is from the Carolinas, but was down in Atlanta visiting two of her best friends. And they were sitting out on the deck enjoying a wonderful conversation. And they had a fire pit with Centronella oil, and it was getting low. So her host took the can of Centronella oil and poured it in, and it exploded. And she was sitting there, and it covered her legs and her feet, lit her skin on fire. Her friend tried to put the fire out with her hands and burned her hands. And when it was all over, our dear friend Susan Sembrennan had second and third degree burns to her legs and feet. Excruciating. Well, she got out of surgery. That was a week ago last Wednesday. Friday, she got out of surgery, and Ronan and I had the privilege of talking to her shortly thereafter. A little groggy. But her first words out of her mouth is, "I'm so grateful to be alive. I'm so grateful that I was with two of my best friends who just jumped in to help. I'm so grateful when we discovered one of the best burn units in the country was only a few miles away. I'm so grateful for my husband, John, and my son, Jack. I'm so grateful to the Lord for all that he has given me." She was just plain grateful. I asked her about the pain. And she said on a scale of 1 to 10, it was an 11, worse than childbirth. But even then, there was a kind of a lightness and joy in her voice. And when Ramona and I hung up, it was like, wow. She understands this principle Og just talked about. She wasn't wallowing. She was taking what is and creating the most she could with what was available. She was looking to possibility. What lessons could she learn? And I had great confidence she would learn them. That great confidence, she'd have some life changers. We called her back the following Monday to see how she was doing, and she in fact confirmed that she'd had some already some life-changing experiences, really tender spiritual experiences. Then we talked on Friday, this last Friday, and she concluded our conversation with these words. "The doctor has told me that it will take a year for this to heal." She's got to go through several skin grafts, etc. About a year to heal. She'll probably wear special stockings for a year after that. She said, "If it's going to take a year from now, we'll look back and laugh. So why not start laughing today?" I'll never forget that conversation. I don't think Ramona will either. Ramona's right here with me. "A year from now, we'll look back and we'll laugh. So why not start laughing today?" Now, there is a great lesson for all of us. Here's the secret. When we take that approach, and we have these painful wounds in our life, some emotional, some physical, some spiritual, some financial, our relationships, we may discover that we have, in fact, been dragging them around behind us in a sack. The Chicago dream. It's time to empty the sack, to examine the wounds, and ask ourselves, is anyone else experiencing a similar wound? Yes. Then let us engrave it on our heart and have it as a reference by which we can more effectively serve another person. That's the answer to Og's question. Now, we don't know this answer until we practice it. We're obviously expanding on it to help people have a better understanding. But for all these years, I've been reading this over and over again. "My love will melt all hearts like unto the sun whose rays soften the coldest clay. How will I do this? I will take all of my experiences and I will use them to serve another. Each time a new experience comes, I'll look for the good in it. I'll find joy in the rain, in the darkness, in the sadness, and in the obstacles. And every time I do, I'm in a position to look forward. Is anyone else suffering a similar wound?" This is probably one of the most powerful moments in this scroll. And for me, We've been teaching. The Chicago Dream was 7 years ago or so, 6 years ago, a long time ago that this dream came. And I'm just finally getting of course Hawk knew it, but he buried this truth in that one question. And how will I do this? Then he goes on to tell us we'll look for the good. We'll dig for reasons to compliment. Not scratch for gossip. Then he tells us that people have walls built around them. Sound familiar? This is quality number one. Built around them because of hate and suspicion. Strong words. And I'm going to take down these walls. I'm going to tear them down with love so that my awareness can enter their soul. And he gives us several examples of how we'll look differently at people without bias and without prejudice and without judgment. He talks about the meek, the rich, the poor, the young, the old, the ugly, all. I will look at them differently with a new set of eyes. I will stand in their path, empathy, and serve them. And then he gives us all kinds of wonderful clues. He tells us that we're going to get arrows of hate and spears of anger. I was on a coaching call today. Wonderful client who got one of those emails from someone that was like, ugh, and he got it while we're in our coaching session. Thank goodness. We got to step back and take a look at it with awareness. Wear this awareness as a shield so it could catch those arrows of hate and those spears of anger and turn them into the softness, softest of rain. And eventually walk unencumbered. How many of us have had one of those spears of, or arrows of hate and spears of anger lately? And what did we do? Did we react? Did we defend? Did we justify? Or did we see them as a big, gigantic barn door and just walk in? Someone's having an experience. Can we care enough about them to find out the experience they're having, even if it's about us? Great instruction. Then he tells us the great secret that when we are talking to someone silently and to ourselves, we will say, I love you. And all the changes that'll make in our facial expressions, the timbre in our voice, all of those things, which are measured by mirror neurons, something neuroscientists didn't even know in 1967, and he gave us a comprehensive list of all the things that would change if we would show up like that. One, we're not showing up in judgment when we do it, and two, we're not showing up intimidated or creating expectation when we do it. We're just showing up. I love you. I'm going to listen. You matter. I care about you. And in service. So we know that in this scroll, one, how are we going to do this? One, we're going to embrace our own challenges. Wear them in our heart, not in a sack. Two, we're going to show this awareness for others. And when they attack us, we're just going to have a higher level of awareness. And when we have a tendency to judge people, or to create expectations or be intimidated, we just bring it back down into, I love you. I have agape love for you. I see you. You matter. And then he gives us the third piece, our challenges, people, and then the third one. He says, most of all, I love myself. This is agape love. Stepping back and seeing ourselves from a heightened level of awareness. And when I do so, I will zealously guard what I take into my body, my mind, my heart, and my soul. And then he concludes the scroll by telling us that if I have no other qualities, I can succeed with love alone. Though I have all the skills and knowledge of the world, I will fail. Agape love. This will help us as we go into the topic tonight about finding joy in the journey. If we will put this into practice, which is viewing our own life experiences differently. I think about scroll number four. At the end of scroll four, he adds this. I've been given eyes to see and a mind to think, and now I know a great secret of life. For I perceive at last that all my problems, discouragements and heartaches are, in truth, great opportunities in disguise. I will no longer be fooled by the garments they wear, for mine eyes are open. That's awareness. My eyes are open. I'm conscious. I will look beyond the cloth, and I will not be deceived. Now, when we're doing this, wearing our experiences differently, showing up, seeing people differently, showing up, seeing ourselves differently, something begins to shift in our life. We become more whole and more complete, even in our challenges. And as we become more whole and complete, we're more available to serve other people. I was in a coaching session going through power sessions for the first time this afternoon with a coaching client. And he had been studying the material online for some time now. He'd been through it multiple times. We started talking about power sessions, not the topic, but the concept. And he said, you know, I've read that, listened to it many times. And I said to myself, you know, I really ought to do that. And I said, great, because today we're going to. And we put a plan together for him to actually start practicing the principle, not just reading about it. But Og says in Scroll 9, my goals are worthless. My plans are dust. My dreams are worthless. My plans are dust. My goals are impossible. That's a pretty harsh statement. My dreams are worthless. Plans are dust. My goals are impossible. All are of no value unless they're followed by action. Wow. So as I share this with you tonight, I'm going to put a little fire under your feet. It is time to get that sack emptied. It is time to hold that in your heart and ask yourself, is anyone else suffering from a similar wound? In the Chicago dream, I'm taking you a little bit deeper into that dream. Because every time I picked up one of those orbs, if you'll remember the dream, if you haven't, you'll have an opportunity to go through it here in a few weeks. Every time I picked one up, I was asked that question before I engraved it on my heart. Is anyone else suffering from a similar wound? Yes. Whew. Empathy expands, empathy expands, empathy expands. Our ability to stand on someone's path and feel what they're feeling because we have felt it ourselves. It is time for us to do this. It is absolutely time for us to take a look at our challenges. Now, I want to make sure that it's clear that this isn't perfect talking to imperfect. Somebody once asked me, what's it like, Dave, to have your thoughts under control? And I said, I have no idea. Well, Friday we had an interesting experience that kind of ruffled my feathers a little bit and had me concerned and worried and thoughtful. And Saturday we went out with the family. And we're out there on the boat, and we have this little beach area, and we've tied off the front of the boat. We're getting ready to tie off the back of the boat, and these big waves come in, and somehow the line got loose on the front. And the boat is drifting toward the shore very, very fast in these big waves. And if the prop hits the ground, it's over, because the boat just will bend this brass prop, and it's a $500 prop. And so I'm starting to shout orders and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, just a little frenetic in the craziness. And we finally got everything pinned down, and my little daughter, Cindy, well, she's 25 with two children, wonderful mother. For those of you who are watching this, you'll be able to actually see this. It's like an octopus squeezing your face. She just goes like this, which means, Dad, pull yourself together. Then she asked this question. She said, are you just a little bit more calm when you have clients on board? Oh, what am I supposed to say to my sweet daughter? I had the privilege of coaching my daughters for 6 months. They know what I know. They know how I should be. What could I say? I said, yes, of course. They get my very best. And you should get that too. I'm sorry. much of the time as we possibly can. What does it mean to be on our very best? It means to do something in spite of what our thought processes might be saying. I felt justified in my frustration. It wasn't the boat. It wasn't the anchor. It wasn't the prop. There's a lot of other things. Running a company can be really an interesting experience. And coaching and trying to write a book and all of these things all at the same time, just like it is in your life. However, when we choose to be conscious, things work better. When we don't, those around us get our unhealthy habits of thinking. And yes, I have many. And I'm working on them. So as I share this with you tonight, just know I'm a work in progress. I don't share this with you as the example. I share this with you as someone who's striving to live these principles. And every time there's a challenge in our life, my sweetheart is sitting right here next to me, Ramona, we stop and ask, okay, which of the principles are we not following? Which one? And then there's a conscious decision to begin living it again. So please, don't listen tonight and say, wow, that was inspiring, or I really like this piece or that piece. It doesn't matter what I say tonight. What matters is what you do when we get off this call. That's all that matters. This isn't about reading books and attending coaching sessions. This is about getting inspired, breathing life into each of us, and then going and doing the work of creation. That's what this is all about. Well, I want to share that with you. That breakthrough in scroll number 2. That moment. And how will I do this? I'll start by owning my experiences so I can show up more empathetic, looking for the good, taking down walls, taking on those arrows with my shield, loving everyone I meet and myself. Well, as we move from this process and we go down, we're not going to spend time on the other qualities tonight, other than to say the quality too, we focus on mental creation, the first stage in creating anything. We create it in our mind. That doesn't make it tangible. It only makes it exciting. If we're in fantasy, we're going to be frustrated when it comes to doing the work. If we're in constructive thought, that vision is going to drive our focus and discipline and effort and action. We can't wait to do what's necessary to create that vision in reality. Physical creation, quality number 3. Then we deal with discipline and structure and all that noise, those thought processes that want to avoid anything that has to do with structure and discipline, need to be right, etc. And then we get to this. It's time to find joy in the journey. Now, a couple of challenges. It's a very basic challenge, and it's one that has me probably the most concerned of all the challenges we're facing with coaching clients and with our nation. I'll do my best to articulate it as quickly as possible because it's really a crisis. And that is, for the better part of a decade, we've been able to fund our fantasies or our illusion of wealth with credit. All of us. Now, many of those sources have dried up. We can't refinance our homes every year to pay off credit card debt. We watched this in California for years. Kept refinancing, rather the bills, the cost, what it would take to actually live there, refinance the house, paid off at a lower interest rate, build it up again. All of a sudden, boom, it stopped. The party's over. And everybody's faced with a lifestyle and the cost, and very little credit, if any, to fund it. Now it must be done from productivity, from the money we actually create. This would be a great lesson for the administration right now. From what we actually create, not money we borrow to fund things. I don't want to get political. I have some strong impressions about this. here we are. We're facing reality like never before. Many of us, if you have your assessments available, systemic thoughts, analytical on the left-hand side, this would be left for you visually, and goal-oriented on the right-hand side, pragmatic, honorable, these systemic measurements. For many, 97% on this phone tonight, they're out of balance. They're over-focused, which means we have a risk of spending more time in our mind than we actually do living in the now. Our bodies are here. They're always here. But our mind is almost always someplace else. I had a client tell me this week, he overheard his wife talking at a family event. He got to bed early, and they were just outside the porch, and she said, when my husband comes home, didn't call him husband, called him by name, but I'll call him husband. She said, all I want is for him to turn off his phone and just be with me. Just be with me. Which means present. Not off solving problems in his business or answering phones or whatever else somebody might be doing. Most of us spend far more time thinking and solving problems and stewing over problems and fantasizing than we do present in the now. In the first three qualities, our objective is to get you fully present. Fully present. Quality four is to help you see the thought processes that might want to keep you from being present. Quality five, finding joy in the journey, is about living in the now. It's about being here. When this becomes clear to us that we want to trade our primary residence from our mind to the now, we are being forced to, as a nation. Well, I'm not going to be making $100,000 a month in that quick get-rich-quick scheme, for an example, that or fantasy I had about it. Maybe I'm in a great company and I've got tremendous possibility, but it's not going to happen in 3 months like I've been telling myself that it will. Oh, it's going to actually take a lot of work. And all of a sudden, we have been cast into the now. And we're facing the work of creation. And when you spend time in your mind in fantasy, even catastrophe, and you come here, this can become boring and mundane and repetitious and burdensome. This is the challenge. Because when we're forced to be here and we're not used to being here, this can become almost overwhelming. How do we know this? In quality three, we do a thing called power sessions. We ask people to stay present in the now 3 times a day for 1 hour each time. 3 one-hour blocks. That's it. 6 people. 6 people have actually done it the first week. 6 people. Now, many have come very close. 6 people. Most are like, oh, Dave, my voices were screaming in my head and told me I didn't have time to read the scroll, and I didn't have time to plan power sessions, and so I just convinced myself I was having one. Well, they were finally present for a moment or two, but they were avoiding all the structure, all the discipline. They could not stay present, fully present, in the now, for 3 one-hour blocks. Who are these people? All of us. All of us. This is hard to do. Well, if it was hard in a coaching session, for which someone has paid a handsome fee for us to coach them and take them through this process. It's hard to do it 3 times a day for 1 hour. What happens when we're thrust into it and it's full time? Bam, cold turkey. Our business is struggling. Our relationships might be struggling. Our finances are having challenges. And we're right here in the midst of it. How does it feel? I've had people say to me, Dave, I don't think I can stand this any longer. Stand what? Because before they could escape, and they could fund the fantasy with credit. Now there's no escape. when we get to a face, I don't want to say this in a way that insults anyone. I just want us to feel. If anybody is on the phone tonight, send me an email when we get done. David Ogmandino. That was me. If that was you, send me an email and just tell me. Oh, my goodness. Now I get it. That's why I feel so overwhelmed, so burdened, so devastated, so stuck. Most of it has to do with the fact that for the first time in the last decade, we are spending most of our time in the now, and not because we want to, because we have no choice. That can be painful. I just want you to give yourself a little break tonight. Take a big, deep breath. Say, wow. Okay. I need to stay present in the now. Then say, I want to stay present in the now. I get to stay present. I choose to stay here. Not cast in here by life's challenges. I get to do this. This is where I'm going to be living. Oh, man. Just the thought of it. Get up and do this routine every day. It feels hard. That's why in mental creation, now there's a great purpose to get an inspired idea or impression that ignites part of our brain we normally don't use, lights up our passion. Passion will cause us to work without counting the cost or tracking the time. It just flies by. There's not enough in the day because we're so excited about creating that. There has never been a time like this where we absolutely need equality too, to learn how to mentally create, to generate the passion to support the action of staying present in the now. And our joy in the journey is being seriously impeded by the fact that we've been cast into the now and we are very unprepared. So when I ask you to please take on these qualities and truly practice these principles, it is so that you can, in the midst of the firestorms, whatever's around us, still find joy in the journey. The joy comes when we own those experiences in our heart and we step into someone's world and their wall comes down and the cooperation and productivity floods out. Oh, that's joyful. It's joyful when we seek an inspired idea, impression, or a solution to a challenge and we receive it and we act on it. And it turns out to be absolutely inspired. So we begin to trust more that process. And we are trusted in that process. That's joyful. We find joy in the journey when we fully maximize our gifts. I mean, just look around where you are right now. If you're at home, are there stacks of things you need to be addressing that you've been putting off? Any big uglies? When you dive in with both your feet, and you show up, your natural genius shows up. And you finally get to meet you free of the tethers of self-esteem challenges or perfectionism or fantasy or expectation. You get to show up. That's joyful. When someone's put on your path who can serve you and you can serve, and it's just like, wow, where did that come from? Thank you. That's joyful. That's joy in the journey. Now, we're going to talk about some very specific items to help us. But joy in the journey is living in the now, engaged in life. You'll recognize these. Embracing these principles we're talking about. Connecting with others and serving them, creating value everywhere we go, and contributing to the world. All of those things are done here. Physical creation is done here. Joy in the journey is experienced here. I think it's exciting that we're finally here. It is not exciting to have to jump into an exercise program when our emotions are just a little flabby. We got to exercise and work that fatness off of us to get lean. That's true. But we're finally going to do it. I think a couple, 3 years from now, as a society, we could be healthier and happier living present in the now. Go into our mind is for specific purposes. Get clarity, inspired ideas and impressions. Come back and execute. And we begin living here. One last thing on this topic. In our mind, I smile when I say this. In our mind, we can create Learjets in a nanosecond. A nanosecond. In real life, if we were in the manufacturing business, it could take the better part of the year to build one. If we have the assembly line. Now, if we want to buy one and it takes a few million dollars, that might take a while to create. In our mind, we can have it in a nanosecond. We could travel to the Caribbean, France to have dinner, back to the Bahamas, and home by the time we finish our shower in the morning. That is going to be one of the challenges of living present in the now. This is in linear time. Tick, 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 tick. Here we create, and here. Here we depend on others to participate. If there's any motivation at all to get these principles in the hands of everyone we work with, associated with, is so that they can show up doing their part more effectively, so they and we can start to realize our dreams a little bit more rapidly. Because our dreams, in large part, are dependent on others. And right now, look around, see how stuck everyone is. We'll want to help get them unstuck, because that will serve us as we're serving them. That's our joy in the journey. Now let's talk about something very specific. I've just shared with you one of the current and major causes of a lack of joy in the journey, being stuck in the now and without a vision. It's very painful. One that's been around for a long time and can certainly be exacerbated, further complicated by looking at those around us who do not appear to be struggling as we are. And I'm just going to ask you to hold your hands like this, those of you on the screen, so you see my hands, like you're holding a 5-pound block of clay. Those who've been on the call for a while have been through this process, but are we still holding our clay and looking over at Sally over there, Joyce over there, Bill over there, and saying, I want that. I want his clay. I want her clay. I want to be skinny. I want to have a great figure. I want to have nice hair. I want to have a PhD. I want to have his house, his car, his job. How often are we holding our clay, wanting it to be something different than it is? This is one of the single greatest causes of self-esteem and self-esteem challenges. And it's one of the great causes for a lack of joy in the journey. Spending a lifetime wishing things were different than they are. You see, when we have this thought process, goal-oriented, honorable, pragmatic, and they're out of balance, they're orange or red, we're going to have a pretty clear vision of how we would like it to be. Some are still hanging on to what it used to be. Not as many are fantasizing about what they'd like to have, because we've been kicked so hard, fantasy's not quite as in vogue as it used to be. Life keeps showing up differently. The first measurement for finding joy in the journey, it's on the right-hand side of your assessment. You'll find it, second measurement down, it's called grateful. People look at that, and sometimes it's orange or red, and people go, wow, I'm grateful. These measurements aren't am I or am I not. It's just simply asking, what kind of pressure is there on grateful? Grateful is a measurement that we're measuring in this measurement how we feel about our life at a deep, deep, deep level. In other words, is it showing up consistent with what our mind has seen so clearly? Almost every instance, that's not true. It's not. By now I thought it would be. Is that kind of a feeling? Now, we can step back from these thoughts. We're not these thoughts. We can step back and say, but I love my companion. I really am blessed. I've got good health. There's so much in my life that's wonderful. But can you feel that little tug inside? But, oh, if the bills were paid off, or, oh, if I just had $1 million, the banker, oh, all those things my mind is so clearly seen. I don't want to give up. I don't want to lose that vision. Well, finally enjoying the journey says, maybe it's time to accept your clay. That doesn't mean we're not going to do anything with it, but we cannot begin the changing of it until we own it. We cannot begin the changing of it until we own it, until we stop wanting it to be different and being frustrated with where it is. We get to own it. This is our clay. We're in the now. We're not living in our mind, frustrated by our clay. Ugh. We're living with our clay. And now we're changing our entire focus. I just want you to feel the shift in the focus. Can you feel it? Okay. This is the clay I've been given. Some might say the cards I've been dealt, whatever the case may be. Now, what can I create with this? What are the possibilities? If I were truly engaged in creating, and I was embracing the principles of intentional creation, if I truly wanted to connect with and serve others, can you start to feel it? If I want to create value everywhere I go, my clay, and contribute to the world, what are the possibilities with this? That prayer can be answered. We're no longer wishing we were someone else, somewhere else, doing something different. We're no longer wanting to be rescued. We now want to take what we have and create the most we can with it. How can I use this to serve more effectively? How can I use this to create more value? And then we wake up in the morning and we take this clay, whatever that is, and we create the most we can with it that day. I might add, if you're okay, that when you're asking these questions, you're honoring the gift. When you're taking action, you're honoring the giver of the gift. And you have a partner who will create miraculous things around your effort to create the most you can with the clay you've been given. And I've shared this before, I promise. As you wake in the morning, take your clay, your circumstances, your life, and create the most you can with it. No more wallowing in our misery. No more wanting people to know how much we're suffering or how difficult it's been or how awful it's... We don't go there anymore. Now we're showing up, creating. Our mind is clearer because it's not burdened by all those negative feelings. We create the most that we can. And when we do, we're actually endowed with more clay. You want more? We've got to stop focusing on other people's clay. Focus on ours. And we start to experience joy in our journey. See, that clay is their journey. It's not yours, it's theirs. That's her journey. That's his journey. This is your journey. You want to find joy in your journey? Then we take the clay which we've been given. And we maximize it. We create the most we can with it. We're are more and more capable to give and give from a full cup, one that's overflowing. This is one of the great causes of misery in today's world. I've shared with you two of the most common. One, being cast down out of fantasy and expectation into the tangible world, and facing the now and finding it less than pleasant. The very reason why we'll want to embrace these principles, so that we can find the joy in that journey, find that passion that drives that focus and discipline, effort and action to do whatever is necessary to create in tangible reality that which we've seen so clearly in our mind. That's critical. And two, finally owning arc clay. Pause with me just for a moment. Can you feel this? I can feel somebody on this call right now just going, but Dave, you don't understand. It's not for me to understand. It's for you to embrace. This is. You want it to be different? Then take it and create something different. Creation cannot occur with somebody else's clay. When we finally embrace this, that's when the miracle occurs. We know ourselves. We choose ourselves. We create ourselves. And then we're able to give from a bounteous harvest. Well, those are two. I've got enough time to give you one more. Another source of joy. And I hesitate to talk about this tonight because I've got a dear friend on the phone who just lost her husband just a little over a month ago. It's important that we discuss this because this person happened to be an amazing example of what I'm about to share. For the last 4 years of her marriage, her husband, having suffered a stroke, required tremendous care. Every morning she got up, got him dressed, got him fed, helped him get in the car. Now, I spent a weekend helping him get out of the car because they came up to the cabin with us. And I'll tell you, my back ached for a week. I know she's on the phone with us. Don't be offended by that or worry about that. I was fine. It's just she's a small person. But she did this every morning. Took him to her work. She's a nurse. He stayed there at the hospital in a special area where he could serve as much as he could. He could barely talk. Strong as an ox, but just couldn't walk. His legs didn't work anymore. She'd work all day, then repeat the process, bringing him home. Then she would feed him and bathe him and put him to bed and start all over the next day. For 4 years, she had very little freedom. I encouraged her over the last year or so to every once in a while get some help and get away for just a couple days to sharpen the saw, if you will. I watched her. I've known her for the better part, I think, 2 years now, sweetheart? Would that be fair? I never, ever heard a complaint. She loved her companion with all of her heart. The years before that were glorious. The last four. And she had no idea how long this would go on. She did not know. Such a love. I shared with somebody today pondering her situation. It makes living with someone sweet. It makes departing very, very sad. But I think the joy is worth the sadness. I have some beliefs about what happens after life, so I'm at peace with that. So I know this person is as well. He's on the phone with us. But I share with you that one of the great sources of joy in this life is to have a loving companion. To experience what a commitment truly means. To commit to love another person unconditionally. To serve them. To adore them. Honor them. Treat them with respect. Listen to them. Affirm them. Validate. nothing quite like a partnership, this committed relationship, for us to learn the very principles Og was teaching. We're dealing with these principles. The rubber is meeting the road, if you will, in a companionship. And when we show up 100% committed financially, emotionally, physically, spiritually, 100% committed, no trap doors, no side doors, no what ifs, no what am I missing out on, all those gone. There's a beautiful thing that begins to happen, starting with the building of trust. Trust has its own energy. And when trust abounds, the expression of that commitment and trust is in the form of intimacy. It's not all sexual, but that certainly is glorious. Playful, fulfilling, tender, sweet. Something the world often will never find. Because many in the world, unfortunately, are so focused on self that they never have the opportunity and privilege of stepping through this door. If you're in a companionship and it's not abusive, because if it's abusive, all bets are off. You'll want to get some assistance from an expert. Law enforcement, ecclesiastical, a priest, a bishop, a minister, or counselor. I'm a coach, I'm not a therapist. But if your relationship just has some rough edges every once in a while, and most do, you know, somebody needs to be right, or there's an argument now and then, there's a great opportunity when we live in the now, and we show up, practicing intrinsic validation, practicing goal setting, where we know why we're showing up the way we're showing up in a relationship, because our objective is to create something magnificent. Being fully present in the now with that person that we love, when all of those pieces are present, there is a joy that's unspeakable. It's just unspeakable. I don't need to tell you that I love Ramona. She knows. And I know that she loves me. Sometimes I find that just miraculous that she can. If you're in a companionship, this is where we really want to start practicing these principles, is here first. Here where it matters most. When I said to my daughter on Saturday, she asked if I show up differently when I have clients on board the boat, and I said, yes, of course. They get the very best me. And you deserve that, too. Those we love, our companions, deserve the very best us. And when we bring it, the joy we experience will be unspeakable. Well, those are the three areas I felt impressed to take everybody into tonight. We're going to have sorrow. Now we know how to hold it. So we're not a victim. We cannot assign our happiness or our success to another. They're dragging around a sack, too. And they're exhausted. What little energy they have, most are spending to look okay. And if we come to them needing them to save us, needing them to listen to us, needing them to understand us, all we'll do is drain what little energy they do have, and then we'll be angry when they don't give more. Let us be the one who seeks to understand instead of the one who's seeking to be understood. And may we find joy in the journey. Now this week, I'm going to encourage you to read, scroll to again, with a new understanding about agape being applied to experiences, people, and self. I'm going to encourage you to spend some time with Scroll 10, seeking guidance, that we get inspired ideas and impressions when we're seeking to gain new ability, new insights for how we can engage and embrace and connect and serve and create value. We don't get it when we're asking for petty victories and gold and clothes and garments or whatever God calls it all. When we begin to understand this great principle, we will ask for things that can be given. And just know that when our deep intention is to love others and to serve them and to create value everywhere we go, we will receive inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to challenges. I just felt impressed to say that. We're running over just a couple minutes, but for some of you who feel a little stuck tonight, if you're a praying person or you have those private moments, spiritual moments, and you're calling out to a force of creation, God, or whatever name you've given this power, change the prayer tonight. How could I connect and serve more effectively? How could I create value in the lives of others? And see if you don't start to get some inspired ideas. That's how you will actually receive those things you need. Because as we serve, we're blessed. And really, the desire of our heart is met. And let our desire be to connect and serve and create value. Let us live in the now. Let us embrace our own clay and create the most we can with it. And let us, in our relationships, experience what it means to be committed and to build that trust and find the intimacy that comes in that kind of a loving relationship. That joy in this journey may be ours. Thanks, everyone. We'll look forward to being back with you next Tuesday night.